Hour two of Four's Company here. Nick Frazier alongside Nick Keezer, Jake Lyman, and Connor Newt. The show is sponsored by LPL Financial. Nashville's Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Starting a little bit here on the second hour, Keezer, you mentioned Titans training camp before the end of the first hour. And a lot more, a lot of variety as we talked about this first hour. You take it away here.
Heck yeah, man. Sorry about that. My coffee maker took a little bit longer than I expected, but that's
you gotta wake up.
It's all good.
Gotta wake up. Had two games last night, fellas.
But big coffee guy.
Yeah, we're hanging out here on 102.5 The Game this morning, talking a little bit about Titans training camp. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt around some new players, but also some rising players as well. So, we're going to have three questions here that I want to pose to you guys. So I would agree these are three things that we've all heard about and things that we've all even spoken about. So let's talk about safety for just a second here. Jamal Adams is in, but also more importantly, when you look at the Titans depth chart, it's an interesting way to think about the whole plan here, I would say, for them at training camp. And I kind of posed the thought last week of, do the Titans have anybody come in to help challenge the depth, or do they think they have that already here in Nashville? And so just to kind of run through this really quickly, as I pose my question to you guys, because yes, there is a Jamal Adams, Amani Hooker is here, you've got a Matthew Jackson, I don't know who Mike Brown is, but you could have some invites at camp, and we'll find out if there's anything, you know, in the next few days, anyone coming to town. But do you guys think it's a realistic option at training camp to see right out of the gates Jamal Adams taking the ones reps? Is that something you would want to see early on? Is that realistic? Or do you think that at training camp we'll see him fill in different depth roles? What are you hoping to hear from this week? I know Connor is going to get to go out there. That's awesome at some point this week. So he'll get to kind of give us that report live in person next week. But what are you guys hoping to hear just in terms of safety? Let's just start out there.
Jake, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Adams will be the partner to Amani Hooker in a way, but also I don't think you're going to see him out there for 80% of snaps, and I don't think you should. I think Hooker's going to be out there pretty much the whole game as long as he's healthy, and then you'll probably have packages for Jamal Adams and packages for Elijah Molden depending on the scenario, which is fine, but I also wouldn't hate if the Titans brought in somebody else. I'm not saying it has to be Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs, but there are other veteran safeties out there that you could get for maybe a similar price tag to Jamal Adams that might make you feel a little bit better about your depth back there.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
I'd have to agree to that. To your initial point about ones reps, I don't think that's the right move.
No.
I think you just kind of ease him into things. Obviously, he's a veteran of some degree. Obviously, has some good stats in the past, but I think it's more of a feel thing. It's training camp. You know, you also got to say, is he going to actually make the team? You got to remember that.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
Like that
1 year contract.
It's probably the 1 year contract, 1.125. Like, you're not offering a lot out of that.
I mean, I don't know what's promised to a guy like that, but that's something I want to see if he is taking the ones reps or not. My feeling is he probably will more oftentimes than not as the week progresses and as the next few weeks progress, because he knows the system, he knows the coach. So it's lead by example, follow the leader a little bit there, so that I would say this week, but that's my fair expectation. Connor, do you have a fair expectation in your books as you want to take in training camp this week for us?
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines as Jake here. This is absolutely something I'm going to be looking for, and I'm sure a lot of other people there will be looking for this as well. But I want to see how they mix Adams into this. Is he going to play a role in special teams? Are they going to lock him in at free safety and let Hooker do the strong safety, which I think is truly an option? Are they going to have him at strong safety? Could they run him at nickel, dime? I don't know. I'm with Jake. I don't think you're going to see him take 80% of snaps like a Kevin Byard would, but I do think they will sprinkle him around and kind of run it kind of a fluid backfield for sure during this training camp.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go into number two here real quick here, guys. Give me your fast thoughts, then we'll go into number three. Just three Titans training camp hits this morning on Force Company. So let's kind of touch on another asset to this team that we've not seen so much from. And you can kind of expand on rookies if you guys want to. What do you want to see from Tavondre Sweat out of the gate? It is expected that he is to be there at practice right out of the gates. What is a realistic expectation to have from him in your books? These could all be different things, but what is something Tavondre Sweat has to accomplish in week one after being pretty much absent from OTAs?
I think being out there is the biggest thing. I mean, you said he's expected to be out there, but he only got through one day of OTAs before he had his minor injury that kept him out the rest of the offseason training. So, yes, if he's out there day one, that's awesome. Can he stay out there? Can he show that he is in good shape and can stay healthy for long periods of time? Because it's huge for the Titans for him to be out there. When he is out there, things get so much easier for Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and Arden Key and everybody else just because of his presence in the middle of that line. So the Titans need him to be healthy. The one thing I want to see from him is that he's out on the field for 90% of training camp practices.
Yeah.
If we can get that, then I think we're in a good spot with Tavondre Sweat heading into the season.
For sure. Newt.
100%. Exactly what he said. But another thing I want to see is I want him in Big Jeff's shadow. I want him following that man everywhere.
Yep.
They're running a pass rush drill. I want Big Jeff first. Tavondre Sweat better be second.
Mm.
Tavondre Sweat better be sitting right next to Big Jeff in the position meetings. That's who's going to teach him. That's how he's going to learn. I could see the Titans running him in first team reps at some point, but he's been unavailable for OTAs, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. Tavondre Sweat is probably the player I'm looking forward to most to seeing,
mm-hmm.
just to see if he's actually out there. Him and Will Levis, of course. But, he needs to be available. Availability is the best ability.
Yep.
And, and we say it all the time. It's hammered home. But I need him next to Big Jeff. That's the number one thing for me he needs to be next to a proven guy at his position. And that's how he's going to learn.
Yeah, for sure. Frazier, any quick different thought here on what you might want to see out of that rookie?
Yeah, honestly, getting into training camp like a few weeks back, I was pretty concerned about Tavondre Sweat because of all the injury history so far with the Titans and just not being available. But I have, again, my gut's telling me something. I think he's going to be ready to go.
You think so?
I think he's going to be ready to go, and he's going to show up a lot of reporters and a lot of fans that the Titans drafted him for a reason, and he's going to show what that reason is out there in training camp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, last year during training camp, the defense was just lights out, but we also have to remember the offensive line was not great either.
Yeah.
So if he's able to dominate the interior line, this Bill Callahan interior line.
Exactly.
Obviously, it's still be like the first couple of weeks that this offensive line would be together. But if he's able to disrupt something, I'm all for it. I think he actually might be ready.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, I'll trade my thought for a thought from Kyle on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle has called in this morning. Kyle, what's your thought on Tavondre Sweat?
I'm a little nervous about him. I'm not too sure if he's going to be able to be out there and everything. He's going to be a force if he is. But I'm also wanting to know about Burks. Who are we really dependent on more? I know Sweat's going to be in the starting lineup, but Burks, I heard he's having a hell of an off season right now lately. are we counting on him too? I mean, where's he stack up in that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for the thought this morning here on Forest Company, Kyle. That kind of plays into my question next for you guys before we go to break and talk about the boys in gold here in town. We'll kind of get Frazier's thoughts on new coach coming in, but also one injury update with them. So next question, last thought here for you. I will kind of spin this with Treylon Burks. So with this wide receiver core and Will Levis at training camp, in terms of chemistry, does he need to be as dialed in right out of the gates, or do you guys expect him to come into training camp with that already established? Are you hoping to see that things are clicking? Jake, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from Treylon Burks. I like that we've seen some of his mirror pictures the last couple of days, and it looks like he's in shape at the very least. But and completely understandably, because I believe his wife just had a baby.
Yes.
So he's had more important stuff going on. But all of these workout things, whether it was Cabo or some of the videos we're seeing of Will Levis and Malik Willis over at Vanderbilt, Treylon Burks isn't there. And that's it's not concerning because, again, he's got more important stuff going on right now. And he's worked with Will Levis and Malik Willis in the past. But you hope that he's not falling behind in terms of chemistry and how he's kind of bonding with those guys and working into the offense, because he has kind of fallen behind with Ridley and Boyd being brought in, and he's going to be more of a role player if he gets out on the field this year. So he has to be able to step up and have that connection with Will Levis, and he hasn't had the opportunities this offseason to do it. He's going to have to do it in training camp.
Yeah, I mean – I just look at the Treylon Burks situation completely different from a lot of people, I guess. I think he'll be a huge asset in the kick return game. I think with this, you know, these mirror pictures we've seen of Treylon Burks on social media exposing, you know, his physique.
The Incredible Hulk, dude.
Yeah, apparently so. And just watching different leagues like the CFL, the XFL, obviously it's the XFL kickoff format, that rugby style, but also watching the NRL because I'm a fan of that. Just kind of getting three different viewpoints of it, I could see a guy like Treylon Burks with that physique and being a wide receiver and having that, you know, shift ability with your body, that elusiveness, to be vital in the kickoff return. And then that, I mean, what else do you want out of a guy like that? I mean, sure, it might be a late bloomer to a certain degree. If he ends up being a really good kick returner, then maybe you take a flyer on him one more season. I mean, yeah, he might be a really good wide receiver. Because, like, think of it this way. You have, excuse me, Calvin Ridley. You have DeAndre Hopkins. Both not a prime young age. Let's put it out there. And so then if you do that, you got to add Treylon Burks to the equation for next season. Wouldn't you agree to that?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair to say for sure. But we'll go quick here. Newt, do you got any thought on this?
Yeah, real quick. I agree with both of you guys. For sure. His availability and his presence is kind of concerning to me. My worry is he going to get phased out? You've got a deep wide receiver room on paper.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think he will be phased out. If he is successful in the kickoff return game and then end up DeAndre Hopkins doesn't sign back for another season because it's his last season on his contract, and he doesn't want to sign back, then your wide receiver core next year is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Phillips maybe. Treylon Burks maybe, like Tyler Boyd, what's a 2-year deal, so that essentially maybe a 1-year deal in a roundabout way.
Maybe
we'll see. Treylon Burks is the definition of training camp Hall of Famer. He has been at least
Mason
first
Kinsey for the most part.
Yeah, Mason
Kinsey. Yeah,
but Jake, am I crazy to say that Treylon Burks could be an option for next year?
No, not at all. And I think the Titans need to find out whether he is an option for next year, because like you said, DeAndre Hopkins and Tyler Boyd are both free agents after this year. So it's Calvin Ridley and then what after this season. So I think you have to know what you have in Treylon Burks after this year. And that allows you to make more informed decisions of, okay, do we go after T. Higgins, or do we go make a trade for a Brandon Ayuk if he's available? Or do we use our first round pick on a wide receiver this year? I think what Treylon Burks is able to do in his limited opportunities is going to have a big impact on what the Titans offseason plans are next year.
Yeah. Well, those were our three training camp hits real quick here as things get going early next week. Everybody that covers this team will be out there at St. Thomas Sports Park on Tuesday. We'll have some shows live from there as well. Sounds like Chase and Big Joe will be living out there for the next few weeks as well from 9 to 11 here on 102.5 The Game. But coming up next year on Four's Company, we're going to go head over to Geodis Park, not physically, but talk about what the Nashville SC Boys in Gold have been up to as of late. They had a tough loss the other night against Orlando City FC. Frazier's got us covered. BJ Callahan takes over effective tomorrow,
yep,
by the way, July 21st. So how does this team shape up? And here just in the next few weeks with the Olympics, all those thoughts coming up next year at 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5, excuse me, not 102.5. You're listening to 102.5 this morning, but tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tide. Our friend Jake Lyman on the show with us this morning is on the call pregame at 5:20. First pitch at 5:35 with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And those are the sponsors for this game studio as well. Back here on Force Company this morning, talking a little bit about the Boys in Gold. They're taking on Philadelphia tonight at 6:30. But more importantly, this is the last game before BJ Callahan takes over. I bet he's traveled with the team to hang out with them more than likely, and he'll kind of, you know, get things started. This is Roomba's last game,
yep,
and it was his last home game behind that box the other night right there. What's it called? You had a name for it. The box that he stands in?
Oh, I just call it the touchline.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea what it was,
Manager's
honestly.
Box, you could call it whatever.
Yeah, yeah, you've got it in basketball,
anything,
too.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Give it its own nickname if you want.
Yes. So, unfortunately, NSC had a very shaky loss against Orlando. I understand you lose the game to Orlando, but you lose 3-0. That was a tough loss. Frazier, break that down for us. But then also, there's a key injury in that loss as well, late.
There was, yeah. I mean, unfortunate for Nashville, going down 1-0 pretty quick. And then, you know, the second goal was just unfortunate because it was an in-swinging cross from about midfield for the most part. And it goes off Alex Buell's face, and it goes in the back of the net. So, like, that's unfortunate. But I will say when it hit his face, it grazed off, I think, Jack Mayer's back of his head.
Something like that. I kind of caught that. Yeah,
slight deflection. But, yeah, that 2-0 down quick, that's something really hard to come back from, especially when your team has not been performing at its best quality. I believe their fifth consecutive loss in a row, something like that.
Yes, it is. It ties the club's record, or it is the club's record for the most losses in a row.
Yeah, so that's bad. But also, you look at this team, and you're going to be missing Walker Zimmerman here soon.
Yeah, he already is gone.
Yeah, with the Paris Olympics. And then you look at, you know, the League's Cup is on the horizon on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
BJ Callahan takes over the 21st. You have to wonder, is this front office going to be active in the transfer window?
Right, and what is that window, by the way?
Currently, it's July 18th through August the 31st.
Good to know.
So that's the secondary transfer window. So we'll see if Nashville does something. I think they should. It's a matter of, will they be willing to open up the pocketbook and sign some players? Obviously, the salary cap is a thing in the MLS, unlike other, you know, leagues around the world and so forth. You can kind of get outpriced. Unfortunately, that's the one downfall of the MLS is, you know, you try to find, you know, some happy medium with a player and an agent and team, and it's difficult to do. So, you know, that's the one thing there for Nashville. You got to bring in at least 3 to 4 guys,
mm-hmm.
at least 3 to 4.
This is an older team too. Their average age on SpotRac that I've got is 28.7.
Yeah.
Their current allocation money is $21 million.
Yeah. It's yikes. $21 million could get you something, just not everything of what you
need. Right, yeah, exactly.
But with that, you got Isaiah Jones, who is from the Huntsville team, the MLS Next Pro
That's
team.
That's right, yeah.
He made his home debut this past week.
He did.
Week Wednesday. I can't even think what today is. he looked pretty good. You know, you only get a certain amount of time with him. And then you mentioned Tyler Boyd at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Unfortunate non-contact injury. I just initially when I saw it on the television, I was like, did he just snap his leg in half like Kevin Ware?
I know. You told me that the next morning. And I missed it because I left a few minutes early.
Yeah. It looked disgusting. Mm. And just unfortunate for him. Obviously, it's been announced by the club that he tore his ACL and he'll be on the IR the rest of the season. So
yeah, hopefully he gets surgery soon. Yeah, that's really rough. That's, you know, and Ben Wright put this out there too. He said Nashville players have already missed a combined 147 games in 2024. That's 41 matches more than their previous full season record in 2022. And there are still at least 12 matches this season.
Yeah. It's now pinned BJ Callahan in a odd position as a head coach, because you lose a guy like Tyler Boyd, who's had pretty good form this year. It now forces you to play certain formations, in my opinion. You could still run a 4-2-3-1 if you want, or a 4-3-3. I just think it won't be as effective. As for Nashville, I easily can see them just running a base 4-4-2, especially when you have a new coach taking over. You want to establish chemistry with the new coach and players. A base 4-4-2 is not a bad thing to do, but I think they're kind of forced to do that because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Randall Leal, from what I've heard and from what people have mentioned online.
Claudio talked about it last week.
Yeah. He seems to be healthy.
Yeah.
And if he's healthy and ready to go, that does open up the options for Nashville. You could play him out wide, but the way Randall plays, and this is the way I see the way he plays, is he'll play down the line, down the flank, and then he'll always want to cut in, and it slows down the momentum and play of the game. And it's good for teams that want to pass the ball short, tiki-taka style, which is great. As for Randall, he can only run – the stamina for him is back and forth so much. That's why when I offered the idea of putting him as a box-to-box midfielder, it would be useful for Nashville because they need that extra midfield depth and that quality at the feet. Him and Anibal Godoy put in the middle there would be really nice. And like, you can't really trust him on defense. He's more of an offensive-minded guy.
And he is.
That's the only thing apprehending me from saying, oh, he'd be great in the midfield.
Right, and one thing I like about Randall, and I noticed this, one of the more recent plays he had that led to a goal that I really enjoy about his play, Frazier, is when he is farther back in his own zone, I like when he has the confidence to look up for a second and he makes a long lob pass, whether it's to Hani or if it's to a guy, you know, was Tyler Boyd, I guess.
Yeah.
But then you could throw it up there to Sam Surridge.
And that's another thing.
Schaffelberg's up there, yeah.
He wasn't available last game. Didn't dress, wasn't on the sideline.
Nope. And he's probably out this weekend, too.
Probably, yeah. And that's the thing is when you bring a Randall Leal back, you put him either on the right side or the left side. And if you put him on the right side, you're going to get more outswinging crosses.
Yep.
And when you have a guy like Sam Surridge in play that's able to be, you know, healthy to play, you utilize his height and you attack the defense with your head.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. And so, you know, Nashville don't have that true leader of Walker Zimmerman in their lineup while Randall comes back. And that's kind of a guy that you need in your lineup because he's an aerial threat.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nashville SC, the club, Mike Jacobs, they've all mentioned before that Teal Bunbury is a very effective player in the air. And, yeah, he is an effective player in the air. But also, you have a guy like that who's good at holding up play and having other guys around him move forward. And he plays the ball back in the midfield and kind of does you pass back and put it over the top type
thing. I know. And sometimes I feel like those box plays for them, just when they backtrack, it puts them in more trouble more oftentimes than not.
Yeah. And it's almost predictable. That's the next thing I was going to get to.
It feels like it, yeah.
There was a tweet that I retweeted on my Twitter, if you want to go look at it, Nick Frazier 23. It was the MLS stats page. and it had a full rundown, breakdown of like every single pass Nashville made in their game. And you could see the heat map of where they were going. It was like all the right flank. Some of it was on the left corner. Some of it was at the top of the box. But you could see the direction of the ball. It was always going to the right side, back to the middle, to the left, or left, to the middle. Like it was, it's predictable. It's like the letter M. If you're looking at the picture, letter M, you go boom, boom, back to the middle.
Oh, wow. Like, you're not kidding. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, it's too predictable for me. If I'm an outsider looking in and somebody's out there and it's too predictable, and look at Orlando's. Orlando's is ticky-tacka. It's all over the place.
It is all over the place.
Which means Nashville are hurting defensively. The midfield depth needs to be there, which again, let me reiterate, the midfield needs to be priority in this transfer window. You don't need forwards. Well, you may need a winger of some sort.
They probably will.
You may need a winger. You definitely, I think, need two midfielders.
I agree. And one thing that's noticeable, too, passes are not going into the box as much as they should be.
Right.
And they have been pretty effective in box play. Nashville's been a great team when they get down there, for sure. So we'll see what they do against Philadelphia tonight, Frazier. Really excited about this. New coach, though.
Yes. One more thing. I know we're going to go to the next break here, but Jacob Schaffelberg.
Yes.
It was mentioned in the post-match press conference. I think Valera asked him.
This was a good nugget, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Asked him about possible transfers and just the rumors around it. And obviously, he gave the professional answer of, I love Nashville. I want to be here in Nashville. My wife's expecting. And so when you hear something like that, what can you say? And that's the thing for Nashville, is that he's been so well at the club level. He's been phenomenal at the international level for the Canadian national team, played well in Copa America. When your player has a ROI right now, return of investment.
Yep.
It's extremely green. It's in the green upper north of all that. You have to consider it if you're Mike Jacobs in the GM.
I think so. But his contract also doesn't expire till December of 26. So
another reason why you have that flexibility to sell a guy like that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what happens next year. You don't know what happens the start of next season.
He's cheaper too, which is nice. He's 24 years old, so he could still rise
right
significantly.
When you have a guy in his early to mid-20s and he's really, really good, you might as well, I don't want to say start trading off assets, but when this team is so old, it solely comes down to BJ Callahan.
Right.
Does he have Jacob Schaffelberg in his equation on his team for the future? And if he does, sure, re-sign Schaffelberg to a multi-year deal at a reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But if he's not in your plans and BJ wants to develop the scouting, because that's what he's known for in Philadelphia, if he wants to develop scouting and develop players in Huntsville, sure, do that. If that's what he wants to do, do that, and then you're able to have more money to play with.
Well, there's a lot to
keep
eyes
there.
On. No, it's good. No, we need the passion and the coverage in this market. Force Company brings you that every Saturday. We will hit on the more important topics that fans need to be aware of here in town. This is a rising team, brand new stadium, new coach for the first time in team history. That's got me fired up to go to more games as a fan, for sure. Super excited about that. So stay tuned for what NSC is up to in the coming days. Like I said, they play Philadelphia tonight on the road. They'll be back in town here shortly. But coming up next year on Force Company, another team in town that introduced some new players this week, the Nashville Predators. Then also an update on Spencer Stastny's arbitration coming up this summer in August. Can they get a deal done soon? Elliot Friedman shared his latest this morning. We'll touch on that and what our impressions were of the new guys this week at their press conferences. You're listening to Force Company here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Back here on Force Company this Saturday morning, vibing with the guys, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Jake Lyman, live from Norfolk. He's calling some Sounds games this weekend, so be sure to listen to Jake later. We've heard from him some this morning, but I want to get everyone's thoughts on this new Nashville Predators update that we have this morning. Our friend Elliot Friedman, someone that I've been in great contact with at times throughout the NHL season, does a fabulous job hopping on our midday program as Frazier grabs him every single time that he's on the air. But earlier, right at the beginning of our show, Elliott threw out that pending RFA and, you know, no current RFA because he still needs his new contract, Spencer Stastny, a little bit of a nugget on what both parties are looking for ahead of arbitration, and I'll spin a question on you guys. So, Stastny being reported by Elliott Friedman, not yours truly. So, Stastny wants to ask for 1 year one way at $950,000, whereas the Predators are trying to pitch him on a two-year, two-way deal. Now, the difference on the two-way is Spencer's going to get to go between Nashville and Milwaukee for a little bit longer, not too much longer. I need to check on the occurred games. I think it is a little bit close here. But that two-way contract is mainly just saying he's got two different salaries. People used to think that having a two-way deal meant that you go to the AHL. I did growing up, but that's not the case whatsoever. But what are y'all's impressions, really quickly here? And Jake, I'll start with you. What are your overall impressions of the two different sides to this? And do you guys think a deal gets done before his hearing date? I'll find that date, but what do you guys think about these two different sides?
Yeah, it is interesting to see that the Preds are trying to get that two-year, two-way deal because it shows you that they still at least think that Stastny might have to spend some extra time down in Milwaukee. Because if they knew he was going to be in the NHL, what would be the point of having those two different salaries? You just offer him, well, it was what, $750K, like right around there is what the Preds were looking at. I think they can probably come to an agreement. It doesn't seem like they're all that far apart on the money. Maybe it ends up being, if the Preds want it to be 2 years, maybe it's a 2 year one way deal, or maybe Stastny agrees to a 1 year two way deal. I feel like there's enough leeway and wiggle room that they could figure something out.
Yeah, for sure. Frazier, Connor, you guys have thoughts on this real quick?
Well, I mean, yes, I do think Stastny should be in the equation to stay multiple years. You said his camp wanted what, 1 year, one-way deal, right?
Yep, they want a little bit more money as opposed to having a two-way contract where you have two different salaries. If you do play in the AHL, then the NHL.
Right. I wouldn't mind a one-way deal with Spencer Stastny. I really wouldn't mind at all.
I'm with you.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pivotal piece in the future, I feel. Especially on the defensive side. I feel like he's – I wouldn't mind a one-year prove-it deal for a young guy, and I think he will prove it. Then you can start having a conversation. Let's give him a similar deal to a Tommy Novak or someone like that. Let's give him a 3 to 5 year deal.
He's an Admiral, baby. He's a part of that little
core
that I kept talking about this past whole summer here.
Yeah, he's a former Fighting Irish. So
how about that? He's a Gold Domer.
He's a Pete Weber favorite then.
Yeah, he is. Now, I will go on record to tell you guys this, and you can keep me accountable with this. And I'm not reporting anything. I'm not saying anything is imminent. However, Barry Trotz did say this. There is a move or two this summer they are trying to make. And I feel like before this is settled, they're going to have a decision made on a player. Now, to give you guys some context, this arbitration, the dates, it's between today and August 4th is when you can have your arbitration hearings. I don't know when Spencer Stastny's is. I could definitely try to figure that out. That would be great. But Stastny will meet anytime between today and August 4th. So remember those dates, write those down. Okay. I will say, one player that Nashville will have to figure out in the midst, I believe, with this contract, if there is a deal done that they can agree on, and if it's a one-way deal, if this is a one-way deal, I do not think Dante Fabbro is a Nashville Predator. I feel like he is traded.
I agree.
I do not see a part for him to stick around with the Predators. And I hate to say that. I think Dante has been given a rough road at, you know, his go to be a regular in the NHL. I feel like that he's played well with Roman Josi. He's a relied upon guy to play with Roman. He can be a plug and play really anywhere. but I feel like he could prosper with a different team. He's 26 years old. It's a $2.5 million contract for Dante. You could easily move off of a deal like that. The Predators don't have interest in moving away from Jeremy Lazan, I would say. They just got Alex Carrier back, so you would assume that those two will stay together. The only other D-man I would even consider moving would be probably Luke Shen, but I feel like the plan is there in place to have a guy like that here for the culture. I just don't see him leaving here anytime soon, unless it's a really, really nice deal for the Predators at a 34-year-old, but I don't think anyone has interest in him. But this is an intriguing part that, at least in my case, that Stastny's asked for a raise, a fair raise. Guys, Stastny played really well with the Predators, and to my opinion, I think he deserves a multi-year deal, honestly. Yep. It could be a 2 to 3 year contract. Now, the one stipulation, if the two parties do not agree to a contract going into the meeting, when you step foot in the courtroom, you are either getting a 1 year or a 2 year deal. That's it. And then you have to settle on that money in the court as well. So he may not be getting $950,000 if they don't agree on something before the hearing begins. You can be in the hallway right before the hearing starts, and the Predators go to Stastny and his agent. Don't know if Stastny's going to be there. It's not required. Just one member of the party has to be there. But in the hallway, they could say, all right, here's what you want, and that's it. And then they settle, and it's over. So that could happen, guys.
Let me ask you, Keezer, like, how much of this decision comes down to Spencer Stastny being a left-handed shot?
That's a good question. And, you know, he is a little bit of a younger guy. Left-handed shot, I think, is popular to have with Luke Shen. And I liked that pairing. You know, at times I didn't love it. So is that why you would want to keep a Dante Fabbro for reliability? I think
the balance.
Yeah.
Because one's a left, one's a right.
Because you do want it, yeah.
Because that's the problem, is you look at Brady Shea and Roman Josi. If you pair those two together, they're both what? Left-handed shot.
Right. So, but, you know, it's interesting for me. And then one other part to the puzzle, too, that Predators fans and people of the like may not understand. Adam Willsby just got a new contract the other day, too. A 1 year deal. So do the Predators, I mean, they do see him as depth. It's not a make or break for Stastny's contract necessarily. But I think it does put a divot in the road if there is an injury, if there is something. It's who do you go to? Are you going to Fabbro? You going to Stastny? What are you doing here? So the depth is going to be nice. I think ideally they want to keep everybody, but they got to be salary cap compliant. So if you don't get rid of Fabbro, who are you trading? Clearly there's going to be a trade, guys. I couldn't tell you exactly who they're thinking of to move away from. You know, could the Predators think of possibly moving a Gus Nyquist? Could they be thinking of moving even a Tommy Novak, even though they just signed him? These are all important questions you have to ask yourself because you have to move the money.
Maybe and Colton Sissons.
Colton Sissons is certainly an option too. However, I think having a vet like that in the middle of, you know, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault might be an interesting aspect as well. But also, are you hoping for one of the young guns to challenge for a roster spot?
Zach LaRue maybe?
Could be. You could even think about that. Joakim Kimmel, could he be ready at some point? Don't think Kimmel's ready yet for full-time NHL duty. Could prove us wrong at training camp for sure. Hockey is a beautiful sport in that regard. Things can change really quickly. You know, I'm interested in that. But guys, we did get to meet, and I'll touch on this real quick. We did get to meet Brady Shea, and I'd kind of asked him about being a pillar of this defense. So we can kind of stew on this because we have our weekend picks coming up next. But I kind of want to have this marinating for the next week for you guys in the back of your head. Why would Nashville want a pillar in Brady Shea for the next 7 years? Think about just what he is. If you guys want to do your own research, I can give you guys more context off the air with maybe why I think that way as well. But I remember asking him at the press conference, that was my one thought, was how do you feel being a pillar of this team. 7-year deal, you and your wife wanted to settle down somewhere. Why does it make sense here? And so his answer was a little fascinating. We don't have that pulled up automatically, but, you know, he takes a lot of pride. You know, you absolutely would. It's a 7-year contract. You take a lot of pride with being the longest signed current player on defense currently. So clearly Nashville thinks high of him to be a pillar to build around for years to come. Lots of Predators updates, but the news of the day so far for the Nashville Predators, Elliot Friedman threw out there that Spencer Stastny is looking for a 1-year contract one way at $950,000. And then you've also got Nashville saying we would like a 2-year two-way deal. So could the Predators ultimately get a deal done?
I am interested. Jake, can I have your thoughts on this real quick?
Of course.
About Spencer Stastny and all this situation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Spencer Stastny, I think he played really well last year, and I think you're right, Keezer, in saying that Favreau, if Stastny is going to be on that opening day roster, I think there. I mean, you replaced Ryan McDonough with Brady Shea, but now Stastny has to take somebody's spot. So I think that depending on how this arbitration goes and how Barry Trotz feels and Andrew Burnett feels about Spencer Stastny, I think there is another shoe to drop there, and I think Favreau would probably be the most likely.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's your Preds, Phil. We had our Boys in Gold, Phil. We had our different Boys in Gold, Phil, and the Nashville Predators. But, hey, if you're also heading over to Bridgestone Arena or if you're around there today, a shameless plug because I like going to this, the equipment sale is going on right now, and it's open to the public at noon, by the way. So there is that as well.
Is that where the players give away their equipment?
Yeah, it's just leftover. You can buy stuff.
Oh.
There's also some small things that you can buy as well. So if you're a Preds fan, you want some Preds attire, some cool stuff. If you want to hang stuff up, they got sticks, they got jerseys, they have all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we'll find out what is available. I'm going to go check it out later.
And a big show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait.
I call Barry Trotz's tie from last year, if that's a thing.
I don't know if he has that.
I bet
available.
It's got some luck to it. I mean, he's.
I heard it comes with a lock of Luke Evangelista's hair.
Oh, whoa, boy. Pretty boy Vincenzo.
You can clone your own Luke.
Can you win like a raffle to have like a pizza day with pretty boy Vincenzo?
There's Evangelista? Not a raffle, unfortunately.
I'm going to invite Vincenzo over to play some college football with me.
Hey, Luke Evangelista, let's have some pizza, man.
I don't know if he's into football. He's Canadian. But
doesn't matter.
They follow a lot of sports.
They got CFL.
Yeah. A lot of them like soccer.
They do, yeah. Bruno likes soccer. But, guys, coming up next year to close things out for today's program, we got our weekend picks. We can talk a little bit more about this on the other side if you guys want to, but you're listening to Forest Company here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Back here on Forest Company, wrapping things up. Little Grove Street action. Connor says this is our new song to open up the last segment, but
the Wildcats are taking the field.
Apparently.
It's a party. Yeah.
But hey, Nick Keezer, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Lyman live from Norfolk. Jake's calling the Nashville Sounds games this weekend, so tune into 94.9 The Fan for his best and finest work. Frazier's been watching some golf this morning. We will make a golf pick here in just a few minutes. I'm going to throw three random games at you guys or three random sporting events because it's the middle of the summertime. So let's just have fun with it.
No wild card?
If you want a wild card, you can.
I want
have
a wild
one.
Card.
That's
Uh-oh.
Fine.
I got a good one.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, our third pick will be a wild card, but we'll start things off with Jake as we make our picks here today, guys. But our first game that I want to start things off with, Frazier and new resident Cardinals fans, let's talk about the Cardinals and the Braves. It's Charlie Morton versus Gibson today.
Kyle Gibson.
So go ahead and kick us off, Jake.
I will go with the Braves. It's a doubleheader today, is it not?
It is.
It is.
Okay.
Sonny's on the mound the first game, I think.
Second game.
Second?
Yeah, oh, okay. I have Gibson and Gray on my fantasy team.
In the Morton Gibson game, I will take the Braves in that one.
Okay.
Frazier, what you thinking?
Yesterday, I took a sweep against Willie Donick. So I'm going Cardinals get the whole series.
Dang!
Yeah.
Okay. Newt, where are you going? Are you just going Cardinals?
I'm not going to go sweep, but give me Cardinals today. I mean, we have the opportunity to both pick a Cardinals game, and you mean to tell me we're not both going to pick the Cardinals?
Sure, but I'm going to go Braves here for sure. Yeah.
We'll have a split. That's fine.
I want a clean split. That is the most important thing here. So, all right, but Frazier's been watching golf. I've got to make this golf decision for us. This is the Open Championship right now. They've been getting just absolutely torrential downpoured on. Yeah, it's been ridiculous. I'll just list off some of the golfers here for you guys. You got Shane Lowry is the favorite currently right now. Scottie Scheffler has been shooting well. Xander Schauffele is another one. You got Russell Henley, who's not too far back from them. Lawrence is a -3 right now. So, I mean, is there anyone you guys want to pick here? Jake, you can go ahead if you want.
This is an interesting leaderboard.
Yeah, it is.
Lowry in the Open is tough to pick against. He's won it once already. Scotty's within striking distance. I can't pick against him. Give me Scottie Scheffler.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Are you going Scheffler, Frazier?
I'm
going
to follow suit with Jake here. Just because it's raining like a torrential downpour, the greens are obviously going to play pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Scotty's lethal in the fairway. Give him any sort of iron, he's going to pinpoint it.
Could be.
I'm with Jake on this. He's in striking range.
Yeah. I do like Lowry, but I just have a feeling that we're going to have a resurgence of Xander Schauffele. I have made that pick before, but I do like Schauffele. Are you wanting Schauffele, Newt? Is that what you wanted?
I mean, I'm the only one here that doesn't
you don't know golf.
Nor care about golf, so
that's okay.
You want to give me three names?
What?
I want to give you three names. You just pick one?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
All right, pick. Pick Lowry, Brown, or Lawrence.
Doesn't narrow it down. Those are three generic last names.
Well, their last names, aren't they easy for you to know?
I'll give you a wild card, because you like wild cards.
Okay. Yeah, just give him wild card.
Sam Burns.
Okay, we'll ride with Sam Burns.
Okay, love it. Love it.
Oh, my goodness. And then if you guys want to pick this, I don't know how many WNBA fans we got. We do have some NBA Summer League going on, too. I'm going to pick an NBA Summer League game because why not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick the Memphis Grizzlies to beat the LA Clippers this weekend to round things out.
Interesting. Jake?
I am going to a fun baseball matchup tonight out in L.A. I am going to have the Red Sox beating the Dodgers on the road tonight.
Okay. I like it.
Red Sox beating the Dodgers. I am – my Brisbane Broncos played this morning, by the way. 130-14 against the Newcastle Knights. Thank you very much. I'm going to be going back to the NRL, taking the Penrith Panthers. They play tonight at 11 p.m.
Who?
Against the Dolphins. So, the Sydney Dolphins. So, that's the expansion team that just came in this year. So, I'm going to go with the Panthers. They're going for a four-peat. It's a dynasty in rugby. This has never been done before. Four NRL championships in a row. So,
really?
Yep. Going with the Panthers.
Hey,
tonight. You're
chasing history. You got to love it. Newt, you got one last thing here for us?
Oh, yeah. You guys know what the TBT is?
What?
The basketball tournament. It's literally called that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's on, what, TNT
it's
or
on,
TBS?
Fox Sports.
You could also pick Team USA. They're playing someone this weekend.
Because I'm doing this. The basketball tournament, there's a team called La Familia. They're all Kentucky basketball alums. Willie Cauley-Stein's on that team. Eric Bledsoe, the Harrison twins. I watched them play last night. They're fun to watch, actually. It was really funny.
It's just a blast from the past.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's all the guys I grew up with watching. Mm. So I'm going to go with them tomorrow. They play a team called the Knopf. They're all from the Atlanta area.
Interesting.
Gwinnett County. They play tomorrow. Not sure what time, but I'll take La Familia.
Okay.
The TBT, the basketball tournament.
It's a terrible tournament.
Wasn't there a TST, like the soccer tournament?
Yeah.
McAfee was
same
in
thing.
It?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Same people.
Okay.
I thought that was on TNT or TBS, wasn't it?
Maybe. Oh. It's on Fox Sports this time. It was okay. on FS2 last night.
Sweet. So. Hmm. Love it.
Interesting. Well, guys, it's been a fun program here today. Coming up next on 102.5 The Game, later this afternoon, starting at 1, Stillman & Company's training camp preview will be back on the air, so stay tuned for that. We've got the Red Sox and Dodgers, you know, 102.5 The Game coverage starting at 5:30. Jake Lyman on the call tonight over on 94.9 The Fan Sounds and the Norfolk Tide facing off yet again. Stay tuned for that one. Looking forward to seeing how a lot of these games shake out this weekend. Team USA basketball also rounding out their exhibition games before the games start. So we got plenty of training camp coverage coming here on 102.5 The Game. But today you've been listening to Force Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See ya!